from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and to him glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory.
Exhort you today with regard to our faith and our walk with the Lord, and I have a title for our teaching today: Have We Really Asked in His Name? Have we really asked in His name? And I'm basing this teaching from John 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. You know these verses very well, and we're just going to look at these this evening and trust that the Holy Spirit will enlighten and teach us more with regard to our asking. That is John 16, verses 23 and 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So on several occasions, he speaks with regard to asking. And so he says in verse 24, until now you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So this is interesting, because Jesus is talking about asking as he's shortly to leave the world, as he is to go to the cross to fulfill the Father's will. Here, before going to Calvary, he speaks about asking. And the reason that he is talking with regard to this is because the Holy Spirit is coming to teach you how to ask. The Holy Spirit is coming to teach you the true nature of God and asking from Almighty God. Up until this point, it's simply words, and the disciples are hearing all what he is saying, but not fully understanding and experiencing until the Holy Spirit comes. And of course, that is the key. And that is why we need to be born again of a new nature, to receive the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit comes in order to inspire us and encourage us to be able to ask of our Heavenly Father. And it says also in verse 23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. So when is that day? Which is a good question. When are you one with the Father? Well, Jesus prayed that priestly prayer, we know, in John 17, praying that they may be one as we are one. And I'm a great believer that when you settle the cross, when you see what it costs God in redeeming man, when our eyes are focused on Calvary and the death of Christ and the resurrection, and when you have yielded and submitted to the Holy Spirit, in other words, that death and that resurrection, when you become one with him, in that day you will ask me. So in other words, you're not asking out of the lust of your flesh, the pride of your life. You are asking the Father out of that new nature that he has blessed and given you. In other words, he's enabled you, empowered you to be able to ask aright before Almighty God. Now, James, the book of James, gives us an absolute clue to all of this. And turn with me, if you will, to the book of James. And we're going to look at chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. The book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And we read this verse. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I believe, in conjunction with John 16 that we have read, I believe that gives us an absolute clue as to why we ask and we don't always receive. And here he gives some ideas as to what hinders our prayers in asking. For example, he says, you lust and do not have, in verse 2. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And so he says that you lust, but you can't receive requests to your prayers and askings. In other words, you are lusting after things. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean sexual lust here, but it can also be to lust after a car or that house. It can be anything. A lusting, it's a driving force. You become locked in to that one thing that you are wanting, lusting for. And 9 times out of 10, if you profess Christ as your Saviour, you don't get it. And when we don't get it, we get upset and angry. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Again, murder doesn't mean that you go out and commit cold-blooded murder, but the murder in the heart is resentment, anger, jealousy towards someone or a person or people or whatever it is. And along with that, you covet and cannot obtain. So again, we're getting this deeper understanding of what it means to lust, because it opens the door to anger, criticism, gossip. You covet and you cannot obtain. Again, these are giving us clear ideas and suggestions as to why we don't receive. You cannot obtain. In other words, you can't have it, which makes you covet or possibly even murder for it. So he starts off with that. Then we see in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So he tells us why you don't receive. How can you, with what we've just mentioned above? And he says that what you do, and when you get what you want, you spend it on yourself and your own pleasures. In other words, God has blessed you. He has given you some things, or he's blessed you with finances. And what did you do with them? Immediately, it was on yourself, your pleasures, your wants, putting self first, instead of what he gives to us, offering it back as that sacrifice, using it for his glory. And then we wonder why, when we ask, our prayers don't get answered. I'm still dealing with, have we really asked in his name? Because that is the question we're raising today. You have to ask in his name. And his name cannot be identified with these lusts and pride that can still be in our hearts. He cannot identify himself with that. He would dare not give, because our asking and his giving is all down to his glory. And I can assure you that God's name will never be glorified in what we've just been talking about here. And in verse 4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And he says, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So again, this shows another area why it is that we possibly may not be receiving, because of our worldliness. We still have these idols in our lives. And what does God say? He's become our enemy. He's not a friend any longer. He's now our enemy, because our hearts are still found in this world and lusting after the things of this world and experiencing what the world gives. We've read it here, verse 2, 3 and 4. That is what the world will give you if you lust after it. Your murder, your covet, your fight, your war, your squabble, your fallout with one another. And he says, you ask and you don't receive because you're asking amiss, because you spend your time on pleasures more than on God. So every time you try and ask amiss. And I've known some professing Christians who get really angry with God because they've asked or are asking and nothing happens. And they're too proud to be able to abase themselves and say, Lord, are my prayers being hindered because I still love the world and the pleasures of the world? And I'm acting like the world and talking like the world. This isn't rocket science, brothers and sisters. Sometimes this is staring us right in our eyes, but we refuse to acknowledge it. We're in denial. And he goes on in verse 5, or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? In other words, he's raising the question, do you really know of my spirit? Do you know of my life, my heart? Do you have my nature recreated in you? Or do you yearn jealously in your heart? He raises a question here. And we know if we're asking right, we know if we're seeking the Lord to have any of these errors removed from our faith, because verse 6 shows us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he goes right to the heart of the problem, and it is pride. And so pride, if that pride is there, you will not ask, you will not seek God. Now, what are we really seeing here? Well, we're getting a big clue here to spiritual warfare. We're getting a big clue here to what goes on in the realm of the spirit and with the enemy. Because pride is the doorkeeper here to all the above that we have just mentioned. That is the doorkeeper. And pride always expects God to bless. Give me what I want. Now, of course, we don't say it in so many words, but we will find every excuse under the sun as to why God should bless me. And that in itself is arrogance. Is pride. Pride thinks it's worth it. In other words, I did God a favor when he decided to save me and redeem me. I'm sure he must be so happy now I walk with him. Again, we don't say it in so many words, but that attitude comes out. And then we wonder why, when we ask amiss. Our prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. We have to be humble when we ask. And so we really have to discern then, don't we, brothers and sisters, with regard to our blessings. And indeed, our Heavenly Father desires to bless. That is his nature, is to bless, and he is generous, he is loving, he is giving. But the question we need to ask, am I really blessed? Or is the devil doing this? I have seen the enemy also bless for a season, and it's a counterfeit. Did you know the world can be blessed? People in the world are blessed. We see it all around us. We see the injustice in the world. And it's very hard to see those who are down and out, to see the homeless, and then to see others who are living in multi-million homes, 3 or 4 cars, and so on. They're blessed. So the world knows about blessings. And the enemy can do it. But we know he counterfeits everything that God does. Why, the greatest blessing is knowing that we can ask our Heavenly Father and that he will give, and he will give abundantly. That is profound, that God actually answered my prayer request. He has given me what I asked of him. You can't put that into words. And when God does answer those prayers, you find that everyone else is blessed by it as well. And many times those blessings mean that the house of God can be blessed. And the blessings that God give can be shared out and given to one another. Instead of being covetous, they're mine. Look what I've got. See, we can totally miss it by these wrong attitudes and motives. And pride is the doorkeeper to this every time. We so often get that attitude, well, I've been walking with the Lord for all these years, I think I deserve it. We deserve nothing. It is all by the grace and mercy of God, what he has given us. We don't deserve anything. And if we think we do, that is simply pride. God had mercy on us. Because we all think we're worth it. And that is the problem. You know, when we disobey God, we try to turn it into blessings, don't we? And quoting the scriptures and everything, even though we're walking out of the will of God, we're rebelling against him, we still like to talk of these blessings, and we still like to say God is blessing me and so on. Who are we kidding? The reason I'm stressing all of this is because as I prepared this, God wants your requests to be answered. He wants to glorify his name through you asking him. But he has to open our eyes to ourselves, because ourselves so often are our own worst enemy. And God will not ever give us what we ask in faith if the attitude and motives are wrong. You are wasting your time. Your prayers go no higher than the ceiling. You see, the resurrection life in Christ can only reveal the true faith and asking. And that is why I always keep bringing you back to the cross. The cross deals with everything. The death of Christ deals with everything in our lives. Because it's all about the resurrection life of Jesus fully manifested in us when we ask of God. And that is what this is about. It's the life of Christ in you and me that enables us to confidently, by faith, ask of the Father. Because the resurrection life, the cross of Christ, brings you and I into perfect harmony with God and his will. And that is why Jesus said, I will send the Comforter to you. He will come. And he will come and he will reveal the cross. He will reveal the death of Christ. He will reveal the new life that you have now in him. And he, the Holy Spirit, will bring you and I into perfect harmony with God and his will. It cannot be achieved in any other way. And that is why it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Only the Spirit of God in your life can bring you into the perfect will and harmony of God. And then you can ask according to his will. And all questions that you might have, or all disappointments, or where you thought you were in faith, or whatever it would be, all of these questions will be answered. Because the Spirit of God has brought you, your life, perfectly into the life of Christ. His life now in you, the hope of glory. And that is why we should be living that life. And if not, then you have got to ask the question, why? Why am I not living that life? Why am I not experiencing that when I ask of the Father, I don't get answers. I don't get answers to my prayers. You need to ask why. And if you really, really want to know, then the Holy Spirit will begin to pinpoint and show, just like what he's doing tonight. He loves us, and that is why he's pinpointing these areas still in our lives that hinder our prayers. And possibly it could be we're listening to this teaching tonight because some of us have been asking why? And he's telling us why. Well, let's turn back to John 16, which is what we're looking at this evening. John 16 and verse 23. And here he says then, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So it's showing in your life, your walk, that there is coming a time when you won't need to know or ask, because it will be revealed according to his will and his word. You will be so one with him and his word that you don't need to keep asking all the time, because you will know according to his will. That is ultimately what the Holy Spirit is bringing us to that experience. That's why we never look for an explanation or an answer in our minds or in our intellects, which so often we do. No. We don't look for these answers in our mind, in our intellect, in the flesh. These answers will be found in the heart, in the spirit, where God dwells in you and me. It's that new nature. You're in a man. And when God reveals these things in the heart, the spirit, you submit to it. And when you submit, then your understanding is perfectly clear. Perfectly clear to ask of God, because faith is there in which to do it. All the hindrances of self, wrong motives, wrong attitudes, you name it, is not there. Because your heart, your spirit has received. It knows. Because you're one with him. In other words, you're one with your Heavenly Father. And Jesus gave us the clue to that when he walked on the earth. He said, I do only that which the Father reveals. You are coming to that place, brothers and sisters, where you will do that which is revealed by the Father. You will speak in that day when it is revealed to you. He will give you the words. He will give you the anointing. He will do it, not us, or our will, or our pride, or whatever it is. This is why I say so often, this walk isn't about trying, it's being. God has made you a new creation. He has made you a saint. He has made you a royal priesthood. He's done it. This is what he has granted you. This is what he's placed you as. So you don't try to be these things. A prince doesn't try to be a prince. He is. A queen doesn't try to be a queen. She is. And that is what you are in Christ. And that's why you don't have to explain. You don't have to excuse yourself. God has given us the ability, the power. He has made it possible through Christ, through the cross, to become that new creation, to have that new nature. That is the miraculous side of being a Christian. It is a miracle when your life changes. Flesh and blood can't do it. And so he's now teaching us how to ask the Father. So you see, this asking is not just his name, but it's knowing the nature behind that name. Do I really know the name of Jesus? Or is it simply a word that I use because I'm told to use it, or I read it in the scriptures, and that's what we're to pray? We're to pray in the name of Jesus. All of that is right. But the question is, do I really know that name? Our asking is not just that name, but it's knowing the nature that is behind that name, which is God Almighty, that all power, might, dominion is in the name of Jesus. Do I know that experientially? Is that my experience? Have I seen the enemy flee by confessing that name? Have I received according to the word of God because of that name? That name has to be experienced in our lives, else we're frauds. And the world out there, they can read us better than we can read ourselves at times. They don't read their Bibles, but they read us. You see, Jesus' name isn't a magic formula. You see, the Father's love is a sign that we are complete union with Jesus. When I became a new creation, I became one with him. I am one with him. I am one with the Father, the Godhead, who now dwells in me. This is why I say so often that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet, because when he saw Jesus, you remember, for baptism, he said, I now must decrease that he increases. He saw it. Yet how many Christians today see that and experience that? that my life now finished the moment I received Jesus Christ as my Saviour. It's not about me now. It is about Him. This is why God wants empty vessels. And that is why I spent time in James 4. Because there's some of the things that we spoke about that hinder our prayers from being answered. And that is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential, empowering us to be able to start to live as empty vessels. The baptism of the Spirit is a continual filling. It's not just a one-off experience, but it's a going-on experience. Experiencing more of the risen life of Christ now living and dwelling in and through me. Now, the reason that we make so much about John 16, 23, 24 is that the Father never denies His Son, who sits now at the right hand of the Father. And so, because He never denies His Son, you are in His Son. He doesn't deny us. John 17. Let's turn to John 17. Verses 21, 22. 21, 22 of John 17. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. How does the world believe? How is the world converted, changed? Here it is, verse 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. It's about unity. It's about oneness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the power of God in our lives shining through. It's not about you or about me. It's about God who shines out into the world of darkness. Today, so much in contemporary Christianity is about you, yourself, and your prosperity and how you're doing as a Christian and so on. Got it completely wrong. We're also to take our cross up and follow the Lord. It's that daily death to the self-life, to that selfish life, what I want. It's not about what we want now. It's not my will, but thy will be done. Why? So that the life of God can live in and through me. And he goes on in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. The glory, he says, which you gave me, that's Jesus, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. So what is this glory? The glory that was upon our Lord Jesus Christ is the glory upon us, the glory upon the church. One has to ask, where is that glory today? We see more man glorying in man and his works and what he's doing for God, instead of yielding over and let God build his church through us. We've got it so wrong. And when we wonder why our prayers don't get answered, why your prayers, if they are inspired by God, God has given you the power, the initiative, to be able to ask of him. That's really what this is about. So that it is all of him, and he gets all the glory. And that is why we can be confident in all of this, as I bring this to a close, because the Father never denies the Son, and we are one with him. And that is why we can have that confidence that I have asked according to the Holy Spirit as he's led and guided me. So in other words, your prayers, your asking of our Heavenly Father is inspired and directed by the Holy Spirit in asking the Father, which we do through his Son, Jesus. How will he deny that? He doesn't. He will answer that prayer. But he is not going to answer that prayer if there is pride in our lives. Because pride will always ask amiss, ask in the wrong attitude, the wrong motive, wrong desires. And we've already talked about it earlier. And God will pinpoint these areas in our lives. If we're asking him why, we ask why. My prayers are not getting answered as they should. Things are wrong. Things are not right. And it probably doesn't take very long to pinpoint why it is God cannot answer that request. Because that request is coming out of the lusts of your heart, your desires, like the world. And he cannot and does not answer that. But if our prayers are inspired and directed by the Holy Spirit, according to the will of God and his word, then you have confidence before him when you ask. And those blessings in that asking will always glorify God. And those blessings are such blessings that others will be blessed also, and will see what God has given, that God has answered. The world will see that. Well, brothers and sisters, I believe that's what God wanted me to share with you today. Have we really asked in his name? That is the question that we've raised, and I trust that we have answered that and been able to highlight these areas that we've all fallen victim to. This is about changing. This is about getting it right, getting delivered. This is about you being blessed, glorifying God in your prayers, your asking of the Lord. There's an awful lot that we need to ask God. We find almost every day that we're asking him that there's something or things that need to be prayed on or prayed about, or what is going on and in the world and news, and it's just endless. So God knows our asking him is very important, but we have to ask as the Spirit is leading us, as we're one with him, that we're in tune with him. We're hearing what he's saying. This is why, as I close, it's so important that we hear what God is saying. We hear today what the Spirit is saying to the church. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. All of these things are so important in our daily walk, because God knows, as overcomers, born-again believers, we live still in a fallen world. And we have an enemy. And the enemy's been brought down. And God will make his enemies his footstool. And we're part of that warfare. And that warfare includes us having to ask our Heavenly Father. So it is important, brothers and sisters, that we ask aright. We ask in the right heart, the right spirit, in faith and in humility. Sometimes we have to wait before God, before we actually ask. Don't always be too quick to get in and get it off your chest and ask. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes he has to show there's an area that's hindering before you ask. He will show that, so that when you do ask, you know your request is heard and it's on its way. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us. Father, you love us so much that you sometimes speak very direct to us, because you want us to get it right. You want your name glorified, and rightly so. And you have shown us, Father, that we are one with you. And so our prayers, our asking of you, is very important, because it's all about your glory. It's all about you seen, your light seen in this world of darkness. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we can still have these areas of pride, wrong attitudes, wrong motives. Forgive us, Father, that we can still lust after the things of the world, and at times act like the world. Lord, have mercy on us, Father. Father, at times we feel utterly weak and inadequate. But Lord, you are showing us that it is the power of God that brings us through the new birth into that unity and oneness with you. And however we feel, or whatever day we've had, or whatever the trials we're going through, it doesn't change a fact that we are one with you. And that you, in your love and mercy and grace, you redeemed us at Calvary. You had mercy over us, Father. And for this we will always truly be thankful and grateful. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, there we are. Have we really asked in his name? That's what we have been talking about today. Well, Jesus Christ.